Right. Well, just looking at the data releases around the world, they've become a little bit mixed. And this is true of the US. You know, the story in the US through much of February was that we had predominantly strong economic readings. We had inflation looking stickier. And so as a result of that, markets were reassessing how far the Fed would have to push up interest rates, where the peak was, how long it would have to stay there. And even over this last week, we still have data reports which support that view. So, for example, the ones that still support that view, in the housing sector, for example, in the US, we had January pending home sales came out. They were way stronger than expected. They were expected to lift by 1%. They lifted by 8.1%. And one which I think is probably the most important is initial jobless claims and what it implies for non-farm payrolls. That's still showing an extraordinarily tight labour market, which is going to make it very difficult for the Fed getting inflation down. For the most recent week, we had initial jobless claims. They came down further to 190,000 from 192,000. So when they're sitting down at this level, they still imply very tight labour conditions. Non-farm payrolls, yeah, more likely to drift well above 200,000 when they come out for the next month, remembering that last month they're over 500,000. So, you know, that's the real pressure point as far as the Fed's concerned. But in amongst that, there's just some slight hope in one or two of the leading indicators that came out last week that maybe things are softening off a little. And so the market, after pushing, you know, the US 10-year bond yield at the very beginning of the month above 4% in the US, it starts to bring it down again towards the later part of the week, and, you know, sort of signs that the economy might run a little bit slower. Weirdly, you know, sort of becomes backhanded good news for the equity market as well in the US. But the indicators which are just pointing that way, you know, we had one of the regional ones, the February Chicago Purchasing Managers Index, which is the heartland of manufacturing in the US, that, rather than sort of improving a little, went the other way. It went down to 43.6 from 44.3. And the February ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, which was expected to lift to 48 from 47.4, lifted a little, but to only 47.7. That still sits below 50, which is the expansion contraction marker. So, you know, those leading indicators suggest a little bit of softness. And right at the end of the week, we had consumer confidence too, which was just looking a little bit softer too. So the consumer confidence reading came in the low 100s, 102.9, rather than being at 108.5 the market expected. And that was down from 106 going back the previous month. So just a hint in the lead indicators there that things are moving the opposite direction. When the market gets excited about those sorts of indicators, it ignores what's going in the opposite direction. Right at the end of the week, you know, we had the ISM non-manufacturing PMI. That's for the services sector. And that's still holding above 55. So it came in at 55.1, barely down from 55.2 the previous month. And whilst you've got the services sector thundering along, that employs a lot of people, it's very employment intensive, that's where people are spending their money. So that's where I think, you know, we're going to get some volatility in this. You know, this looks like a bit of a false dawn there, where people are expecting things to weaken off in the US just at this point, whereas some of the other indicators are still pretty strong. This week, you know, we're going to get some tests of this and what the Fed thinks about it. So on Tuesday, for example, we get the half-yearly testimony by the Fed, by the Fed Chair Powell, to the Economic Committee in Congress. And yeah, that will probably reinforce that the Fed's still got its focus on getting inflation down. There's still got to be more rate rises ahead. And then later in the week, a really key indicator to determine whether what we saw in some of the lead indicators is showing any signs of softness at all, and I don't think it will be there, and that's the non-farm payrolls report comes out on Friday this week. And for non-farm payrolls, the market thinks that we'll get 200,000 increase after a 517,000 increase the month before. If anything, I think that 200,000 is on the low side. I think there's a chance it's going to come in higher than that. And the unemployment rate, you may recall, going back to January, actually came down to 3.4%, a new low point for unemployment in the US since 1969. So very, very low unemployment rate, and that's expected to stay at 3.4%. So that's way too tight as far as the Fed's concerned. And also average hourly earnings, where it looks as if we might get a bit of a lift in the annual growth rate and average hourly earnings. That's the last thing the Fed wants. So it looks as if that'll come in around about 0.3%. If it does month on month, that would lift the annual rate of change in average hourly earnings to 4.7% from 4.4%. So you know, Friday this week's going to be a bit of a litmus test for just some of this. Well, it's two litmus tests, really. I think Powell's testimony is probably going to be sort of a bit of a focal point as well through the course of this week. So watching those events in the US as they come through the course of this week. Out of China last week, we had some data, these are the PMI survey reports, which suggests that the Chinese economy is certainly sort of starting to bounce. We had the February manufacturing PMI, the official manufacturing PMI, and the official non-manufacturing PMI. Both of them improved more than the market expected. So the official PMI went up to 52.6 from 50.1. It's well and truly in expansionary territory now, and quite strong expansionary territory. The non-manufacturing or services sector PMI went up to 56.3 from 54.4. That's a very high reading for China, and suggests that that sector's looking pretty good. And it was all reinforced by the cakes in manufacturing PMI and the cakes in services sector PMI. They came in above 52. So the cakes in manufacturing PMI for February lifted from 49.2 to 51.6, and the services sector PMI lifted from 52.9 to 55. So you know, we've got this bit of a dogleg up starting to show for the Chinese economy. And it was sort of reinforced at the weekend because we got the People's National Congress meeting, which runs over the course of this next week or so. And they've set their growth target for 5% for this current calendar year. And now that's interesting because a long way north of where we are at the moment. We're sub 1% at the moment on a year-on-year basis for Chinese growth. It's pretty soft at the moment. What that implies is, and we'll hear more about the policies they're going to put in place to try and achieve that, the 180-degree turn in Chinese attitudes towards various industry sectors and towards lockdown, using lockdowns to contain COVID and all these things, they're going to be reinforced by it. This implies that they're going to be using a bit of public money to try and promote that growth rate. So this is sort of, some people have said it's reminiscent of what happened at the global financial crisis. It was sort of China saved the world then because the West world was cutting back, even though they had weak economic growth. You had China, which was really pumping things up. Now, having said that, we know all the flaws in the Chinese economy and the difficulties, but it does look as if they're going to pump things pretty hard over the course of this year now. So that is, if anything, a positive for growth, but it could make life a bit harder as far as central banks are concerned around the world containing inflation. This week in China, we get some export data and import data. They still look pretty soft. It's reacting to international growth. So on Tuesday, February exports come out there. They're likely to be down 10% year-on-year, about the same as where they were down the month before. They were down 9.9% year-on-year. Imports improving a little, but still in negative territory, down 5.3% year-on-year, we think, after being down 7.5% year-on-year. And February CPI comes out. Now, the interesting part about this one is that the year-on-year is low, so we're expecting year-on-year inflation to only lift a little bit to 2.2% from 2.1%. But the month-on-months are now running pretty high. So the February month-on-month is expected to be up 0.7% after being up 0.8%. Well, it doesn't take too much of a mathematician to work out that if you start getting month-on-months like that, the 2.2% 2% style inflation rate is turning rapidly towards 5 or 6% inflation year on year over the course of the next 6 or 7 months. So, you know, inflation's well and truly on the lift in China at the moment, so that's something that will bear watching. It's not quite there in their producer prices yet. That comes out this week as well. They were at minus 0.8% year on year going back to the month of January, expected to be around about minus 0.5% year on year as we get further forward. But of course, if they're going to be boosting growth, you know, that's going to be lifting at some point too. Now, just moving on to the Australian side, and again, we've got that mixed bag between some strong indicators, but mostly predominantly weaker indicators, which suggests that interest rates are starting to cut into growth here. So over the course of this past week, you know, we had January retail sales came out, and we had obviously a big fall going back to the month of December. It was actually revised from minus 3.9% month on month to minus 4%. We expected some bounce, and the market thought around about 1.5. It was quite a hefty bounce, 1.9%. So it suggests that, you know, people are sort of, you know, after the toing and froing, that, you know, they were sort of lifting spending again a bit in the month of January. We had Q4 GDP came out. Q4 GDP suggests that, you know, there was some slowing, even starting to show in Q4 last year. GDP growth was expected to be 0.9% quarter on quarter. It was 0.5%. And so that reduced the annual real economic growth rate from 5.9% year on year to 2.4% for the most recent quarter. Inside that growth rate, domestic demand was comparatively soft. It was largely net exports which were driving economic growth. It was net exports produced 1.1 percentage points of economic growth. So, and inside domestic demand, there was a trickle ahead in terms of household consumption expenditure, but a lot of weakness running through housing and a lot of weakness running through investment spending. And so, yeah, that was, it suggests that things have just turned somewhat, although you've still got this underpinning coming through from the external sector helping to keep growth going. Later in the week, we had home building approvals, home loans. Yeah, these are still very, very soft. Yeah, you get a lot of stories around that, yeah, we got the first green shoots of maybe some housing starting to settle. Well, it's not really there in the real indicators. So basically, you've got home building approvals, which were expected to fall by 8% month on month. They fell by 27.6% month on month, so a very big fall there. And January home loans, the value of home loans, new home loans, they were down 4.2% going back to the month of December. That was expected to have slowed a little bit to maybe down 1.7% month on month. Well, it was actually worse. It was minus 4.9% month on month. So, you know, home loans, the value of the home loans is coming back. The only part of the home loan story which is doing anything is actually refinancing, and that's actually going quite strongly. But in terms of the aggregate and total new home loans, this is now falling quite sharply. And we also had the January CPI came out, and this was somewhat promising because it showed that the annual inflation rate on the monthly indicator, which peaked at 8.4% year on year, going back to December, that was expected to come down to 8.1. It went down to 7.4. You know, that's still a long way north of 2 to 3% inflation target, but it is somewhat promising. So Australia is looking a bit different from the US. In the case of the US, on balance, you've got more strong indicators than weak indicators. In Australia now, on balance, we've got more weak indicators than strong indicators. So it does suggest that the pathway for monetary policy change is a bit different in Australia than it is in the US. In the US, yeah, they've still got two or three or four more interest rate hikes to go, whereas here we're looking at more like two-ish interest rate hikes to go, if that, If we continue to get some softness running through the indicators. You know, the other key difference between us and the US is that our most recent labour market indicators have been on the softer side, whereas in the US they could not be stronger. You know, they are phenomenally strong. Another reason why it's a different world in the US relative to what it is here in Australia. This week, of course, the RBA does meet, and that meets on Tuesday. Just before they meet, we'll get some trade data comes out. You know, the trade side of the economy here is strong as an ox. We had a trade surplus of $12.2 billion going back to the month of December. That may have got even bigger to $12.7 billion trade surplus for the most recent month. The trade side certainly is going well for Australia. As far as the RBA policy meeting is concerned, almost certainly they're still going to do another 25 basis points. That will lift the cash rate from 3.35% to 3.6%. It will be interesting to see whether they've changed some of their commentary where they were talking about more rate hikes ahead. By rights, they should be giving some indication that they're going to be going slower. It's just the way in which the data's moved since they brought out the monetary policy statement going back to the beginning of February. The world, or Australia, doesn't quite look like the Australia they painted in forecast in that monetary policy statement. Inflation looks lower, wage growth not quite as high, the labour market looks softer, growth's not quite where they thought. You can't ignore that. And so basically, that's where, it's just looking a bit different. We'll reach a peak sooner and probably not quite as high, certainly not as high as the rate peaks you're seeing in many countries overseas. There could be only two more rate hikes ahead here. So just watching to see how the data runs. As far as Europe's concerned, we had they're running reasonably firmly. So we had February business consumer survey came out. That actually lifted, but not as much as expected. It didn't lift it. It just edged back a notch to 99.7 from 99.8. It was expected to lift, but still reasonably firm. We had the preliminary February CPI came out, and a bit like the US, it's not coming down the way you would expect. So the CPI was expected to come down to 8.2% year on year from 8.6. It only came down to 8.5 at the headline level. And the core CPI, it was expected to stay steady at 5.3%. It actually lifted from 5.3 to 5.6. So it appears to mean more of a task ahead. As far as Europe's concerned. The unemployment rates, there was an upward revision to the previous month to 6.7 from 6.6, still a low unemployment rate, and it held at that for the most recent month. And then just to provide some cold comfort, as far as the CPI is concerned, we had producer prices came out on Friday. And they fell for the most recent month. You know, that was largely some of the energy prices coming back. They were down by 2.8% month on month. As a result of that, the annual rate of change in producer prices fell from 24.6% to 15%. Still pretty high pipeline, but sort of at least for the most recent month, there was a little bit of pressure out there. The ECB, we won't hear from them for another, not this week, but the following week, we'll hear from the ECB, and at this stage, the ECB is going to have to do another 50 basis points when they meet, not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. This week in Europe, we get Centix investor confidence. That's been improving of late, so expect to come back to about minus 6.3 from minus 8. January retail sales, if anything, there's been a lift in retail sales in Europe through the month of January. So looking for 1% increase there after being down 2.7% in the month before. There'll be another revision to Q4 GDP. Don't expect much of a revision. So their GDP is at 0.1%, 1.9% year on year. But you know, all told, just watching the ebbs and flows in the data now and what that implies for what central banks have to do, for the US, if anything, we might get a turn away from the bit of optimism that was starting to creep in towards the end of last week, particularly around Jerome Powell's statement and also the non-farm payrolls when they come out on Friday. And for us, slightly different because by rights, the RBA should be a little less hawkish than it was in most recent statements, even though it'll still be raising rates on Tuesday and lifting another 25 basis points.